now. InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
It's the time of year when you may be setting new goals, at home and at work. But how can you improve your odds of success? InfoTrack's Roy Mackey is back with the story. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Kyle Austin Young is an award-winning strategy consultant and now the author of Success is a Numbers Game, Achieve Bigger Goals by Changing the Odds. Kyle, your core premise is that success isn't about talent or luck or hard work as much as probability. What was the moment in your own life when you realized that you needed to start thinking in terms of odds rather than effort alone?
I appreciate the question. You know, I went through something that at the time I thought was going to be kind of calamitous for my career. It turned out to be maybe a blessing in disguise, but I was laid off twice from different leadership positions in a span of about 13 months. And so the first time, this was a while ago, I'd just purchased my first house, not a great time to get laid off. The second time, my wife and I were involved in the famously expensive process of adopting our first child at the time. And so that also, again, not a good time to lose my income. So I decided that I wanted to be more diversified in the money that I was making. I was tired of having to go back to my wife and say that I wasn't going to get a paycheck. So I was fortunate to get a few job offers the day after that second layoff, four, I think it was, to be exact. And some friends gave me the advice, why don't you take on fractional roles with different organizations, diversify a little bit, and start consulting. So that was over a decade ago, but it led me into a career where I'm always working on lots of different projects at once. And I recognized that I needed to find something that they all had in common in order to keep myself sane. In some cases, I was working with doctors out of Harvard Medical who wanted to change the conversation around cancer, and then transitioning to a call with somebody who was using cutting-edge virtual reality technology to help people learn new languages, all kinds of different things. I had a client who ran a little bed and breakfast in a coastal town in Maine and wanted to differentiate themselves from 12 other competitors. So I needed to find what were the things that these projects had in common, and ultimately it was they all had a goal, they all wanted to succeed, and they were all coming to me to try to make their odds of success better. And I decided to zoom out a little bit. And while I'm typically hired for a specific task, it might be to reinvent a company's messaging. It might be to help do research on how to best orient new customers into a product. While I'm typically hired for something specific, I decided to zoom out a little bit and ask the question, what was everything I was capable of doing to increase a customer's odds of getting the outcome they wanted? And so that led to this focus on probability, led to some really cool success stories, and ultimately led to the chance to write for sites like HBR, Fast Company, Forbes, and write the book.
Early in the book, you contrast Jack and Jill to show how hidden variables dramatically change outcomes. Can you explain what you see as the most common invisible factors that quietly sabotage people's goals?
Well, there certainly are different attributes that can have a big impact on our success in life. Jack and Jill are an example of two students who want to graduate from college, and we ultimately learn that one of them has a much better chance than the other because of the size of their parents' income. So that would be an example of an individual factor that can play into a person's goal. Where I think a lot of people, though, are often failing to accomplish their goals is they're falling into a thinking trap, and it's a thinking trap called averaging. When we consider a goal that we want to accomplish in our lives, let's say we're training to run a marathon, we intuitively try to get a sense of what is it going to take for us to be successful. So let's say that we hire a running coach who says, I need you to eat, sleep, and train the way I tell you to. There's three things that need to go right. So we have a sense of what we're going to have to be able to do, and we check in with ourselves and say, do I feel like I'm able to accomplish each of these things? And if we feel good about them individually, we feel good about the goal as a whole. But ultimately, that's not mathematically sound, that's not scientifically sound. We have to actually multiply the odds of us accomplishing each of those individual things together to get a sense of our total odds of success. So if we think about that marathon analogy, we need to eat, sleep, and train according to these parameters. Let's say that we think it's 70% across the board. 70% chance we'll eat the way we're supposed to, 70% chance we'll sleep the way we're supposed to, 70% chance we'll train the way we're supposed to. A lot of people would think they have a 70% chance of accomplishing this goal. If they did it on paper, maybe they'd get the answer right, but in our lives, if we feel good about the steps, we typically feel good about the outcome. In reality, with those numbers, you multiply them together, you find that you actually have a 34% chance of being ready on race day. So I think that's one of the biggest invisible factors that's hurting us is we have this mistaken belief that if we feel good about the different prerequisites individually, we should feel good about the goal as a whole. Understanding that when you need all of them to go right in order to get what you want can ultimately completely change our outlook.
Now you outline four paths to success, culminating in what you call probability hacking. Tell us briefly about those four paths, and then how is probability hacking fundamentally different from simply working harder or persisting longer?
It's a great question. You know, I argue that some people succeed simply because they got lucky. They pursued goals that had terrible odds of success, but it went okay for them. I tell the story of Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe's working at an aviation munitions factory during the war, and an army photographer comes to take photos for a military magazine that's intended to inspire the troops. And he just notices her while she's there, says, "You're really pretty. Would you like to maybe be on some of these magazine covers for the photographs that I take?" She says, "Sure." Ultimately has a successful modeling career and then a successful acting career. That's a pretty remarkable success story, but it's not one that I would encourage people to reverse engineer. If you're telling me that you want to become a famous actress, I probably wouldn't say, go get a job at the nearest aviation munitions factory. So some people achieve unlikely goals despite having bad odds of success. Other people are successful because they leverage the power of multiple attempts. So they might be also pursuing a goal that has bad odds of success, like trying to start a successful business. We have some numbers circulating that say that 9 out of 10 new businesses fail. Well, some of the entrepreneurs I interviewed who have achieved really big success were people who, when confronted with those numbers, thought, great, if I start 10 businesses, I can expect one of them to succeed. People who recognize that multiple attempts give us the opportunity to sometimes play the odds instead of trying to beat the odds often find a more reliable path to accomplishing difficult goals. A third path is some people take the time to understand the framework or how odds work, and then they pursue the goals where their odds are good. And so they succeed because we would expect them to succeed. They look at the advantages that they have in their lives and ultimately make a list of what are the goals where I feel like my odds are the best. I wish more people did that. And in doing so, those accomplishments can then bring future goals further within reach because success often begets success. But as you mentioned, all this for me leads into the idea of probability hacking. Probability hacking is getting a sense of what your odds are now, just like you did with the marathon example. And then we do something that's very counterintuitive. A lot of people, when they're pursuing a goal, they get the advice to think positive. Don't worry about what could go wrong. Just stay focused on what you want and everything will work out fine. I tell people the exact opposite. I tell people that if you want to optimize your odds of success, you actually need to think negative. You need to try to brainstorm what are the potential bad outcomes that could happen instead of what you want. And the reason for that is those are the things that are hogging probability. If we want to make the odds of a good outcome better, we have to make the odds of the bad outcome smaller because they all add up to 100%. There's not any extra probability to spare. So in the context of running a race, if we're concerned that there's a 70% chance we'll stick with this training regimen, well, what are the other things that might happen? Well, there's an outcome where we quit because there's some bad weather and we can't go outside safely. What can we do about that? Maybe we need a gym membership until race day so that we have a backup plan for bad weather. Maybe there's an outcome where we quit because of an injury. Well, what can we do to prevent injury? It turns out there are some really specific stretches that can help you avoid shin splints and the types of things that often derail a running regimen. There's an outcome where we quit because we lose motivation. Maybe we need a running partner who will be there with us after the initial jolt of excitement wears away. So when we take the time to think negative, to identify the outcomes that could happen instead of what we want, and use our creativity, we can systematically de-risk our goals. And this can change our odds of success and ultimately change our outcomes. In the course of a single goal, it might change your outcome. In the context of several goals, it can change the trajectory of your career.
If someone listening right now feels the game is kind of rigged against them, I think a lot of young people coming out of college certainly feel that way. What is the first probability-based question that they should ask themselves?
If you feel like the game is rigged against you, one of the questions that I would encourage you to start with is identify the goals that you have that you are likely to accomplish, because I think a lot of people take that for granted. They don't slow down long enough to recognize that all of us have some low-hanging fruit in our lives. And when we make the most of that, we can dramatically change our odds at subsequent goals. I had an opportunity a number of years ago to do some very difficult work. It wasn't easy. It was time-consuming. It was hard. But I knew that if I did it, it was going to put me in an opportunity to write for the Harvard Business Review. I knew that it was going to make that possible for me if I participated in this project that was, again, challenging and time-consuming, but the odds were really good. So I did it, and I ultimately wrote for HBR, and that was a breakthrough in my career. Writing for the Harvard Business Review made it easier to write for sites like Forbes and Fast Company and Psychology Today and the Boston Globe. And those writing credentials combined made it easier for me to get big consulting contracts. It made it easier for me to get a book deal. It made it easier for me to go on respected podcasts like this one. And so those were an example of a time where I took stock of the goals that I had that were more likely to happen, and then I use those early successes to accomplish bigger things. When you do that, the game feels less rigged. If I had started right from the beginning and tried to get a big book deal with an imprint of Penguin Random House, it probably wouldn't have gone very well. Maybe I would be walking around today saying that the game is rigged. I didn't do that. Instead, I tried to accomplish the goals that were within reach, doing everything I could to optimize my odds of success, and that made, again, these bigger pursuits more attainable.
Kyle, if you had to distill the entire book into one practical shift in thinking that listeners could apply right away, what would it be, and how would that change their odds immediately?
Think negative. Think negative. Don't buy into this lie that we need to avoid the things that might go wrong. Instead, try to embrace the things that might go wrong. Try to keep them top of mind. Try to use your go to ChatGPT, tell it your goal, and ask it, what are some of the things that might go wrong? And then use that to try to ultimately come up with creative solutions to prevent these bad outcomes from happening. We can understand probability similar to the way we've traditionally understood matter. Our odds of success can't be created or destroyed, but they can be transferred and rearranged in the context of the different things that might happen. So we have the opportunity to reliably improve our odds of success by focusing on what could happen instead of what we want. Typically, it's a lot easier to thwart a bad outcome than it is to somehow conjure better odds of success at a good outcome. When we make these bad outcomes less likely, we can pillage them and plunder their probability, bring it over to our side of the equation, and ultimately put ourselves in a better position.
Kyle Austin Young, the author of Success is a Numbers Game. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
That wraps up this episode of InfoTrack. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm your host, Chris Whitting. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next time for another InfoTrack broadcast.